I'll give you a couple of thoughts tonight from John chapter number 3 there. Not going to keep you long, just a few minutes. Just going to give you the thoughts tonight. John chapter 3, where Brother Colt read tonight. Just give you a couple of thoughts real quickly. If I was going to title the message tonight, I'm not going to preach. I'm going to give you these thoughts and we're going to dismiss in prayer and go home. There's a lot of people here tonight tired, and I happen to be one of them. Amen. But anyway, if I was going to title the message tonight, it would be this: I'm saved, now what? The first part of the chapter is dealing with the new birth. And Jesse, this thought would be real good for you. You've already got in on part of this. Well, you've got in on more than part of it. But if I was going to title the message, it would be, I'm saved, now what? You know, a lot of people get saved and they act like that's it. It's over. No. It's just the beginning when you get saved. Amen. When I was born physically, it wasn't over. It was just beginning. It was just, my life was just starting. Amen. But when we're born spiritually, now what? I'm born again. I know my name's written in heaven. Now what? Well, I'll give you 5 things quickly. I want you to notice, first of all, the proper order. The proper order is salvation and then baptism. When you come out of this first part of the chapter here, Nicodemus is being told you must be born again. And then you come down here and you see in verse 22, after these things came Jesus and his disciples into the land of Judea, and there he tarried with them and baptized. And John also was baptizing. And, you know, we're Baptists. This is a Baptist church. And we believe that saved people ought to be baptized. I'll say this. You see something here with Jesus, and I think it's important. The Bible said then there arose a question about the purifying. And then the Bible said they came to John and said unto him, Rabbi, he whom thou was with thee beyond Jordan, to whom thou bearest witness, behold, the same baptizeth, and all men come to him. And we see that the Bible said in verse 23, John was baptizing. We see in verse 26, Jesus is baptizing. In verse 23, I think there's a phrase that we need to catch. There was much water there. That tells us a little bit about the mode of baptism. Amen. The Bible said over there in the book of Romans chapter 6, buried with him in baptism. That's why we baptize the way that we do. So we see the proper order, but I want you to see that the proper place. You see, I believe that God's people, when they get saved, they start out and they follow the Lord in believer's baptism, but then they begin to find their place in the body of Christ. Everybody's not fingers. Everybody's not toes. Everybody's not ears. Everybody's not eyes. We all have our place, and the whole body is fitly joined together. If you look at the place in verse number 28 and 29, he said, "Ye yourselves bear me witness that I said I'm not the Christ, but that I'm sent before him." The proper place, number one, is a place of faith. Number two, it's our place as a forerunner. If we would just think Jesus is coming to town and we're supposed to be out there in front blazing the trail, amen, for him. And then our place as a friend. Jesus said, John said, listen, talking about the bridegroom, he said, he that hath the bride is the bridegroom, but the friend of the bridegroom. Let me ask you something tonight. Are you glad to be a friend of the bridegroom? Not only that, we are the bride of the Lord Jesus Christ. Then there's the proper preeminence. In verse number 30, the Bible said, he must increase, but I must decrease. I'm afraid there's a lot going on in churches today that's just the opposite of that. Instead of look at him, it's look at me. Entertainment. Amen. But I tell you, if we have the preeminence in our heart and in our life to exalt him, exalt Christ. That's where God wants us to come to, that place where we exalt Him, the proper preeminence. And then we see the proper authority in verse 31 down through verse number 34. He that cometh from above is above all. He that is earth is earthly and speaketh of the earth. He that cometh from heaven is above all. There's three things here that I see in the authority. In verse 31 and verse 35, we see the Son. In verse 34, we have the authority of the Scripture. The Bible said, for he whom God hath sent speaketh the words of God. Listen, when Jesus would speak, the Bible said he didn't speak like the Pharisees and the scribes, but he spoke as one having authority. I like that. They didn't like it, but I like it. Beloved, listen, the reason he spoke as one having authority, he was speaking the very words of God. That's why men of God that open a Bible and preach in the Bible never have to apologize for what they said. I'm not the authority. The church is not the authority. The fellow that turns his collar around backwards, he's not the authority. The Word of God is the authority. We see the Son in a position of authority, the Scripture in a position of authority. Look at the second part of verse 34. For God giveth not the Spirit by measure unto him. We see the Spirit of God in a position of authority. I heard something last week, Miss Eve, that reminded me of a message that I preached. I don't think at this church. I think it was years ago at Liberty. But I preached a message entitled, The Holy Ghost, Resident or President. You see, in every believer's life, the Holy Ghost resides in his life. But I'm telling you, we'd be turning this world upside down if the Holy Ghost was presiding in every believer's life. Is he just a resident? Or is he the president? Is he the one that's driving the car, so to speak, in your life? Somebody had a bumper sticker that said, God is my co-pilot. You better let him be the pilot. Say amen. Amen. And then tonight, we have the proper message. This is the message. You get saved. I'm saved. Now what? You've got a message. You're a messenger. Everybody's not a preacher, Brother Colt, so to speak. As far as the way we put the title on a preacher. But I tell you what, everybody is commanded by the Lord to share the gospel, to share the witness of the Word of God. Look at verse 36. Look at our message. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. Boy, I'm glad that's me. Are you glad that's you? He that believeth not the Son of God. You know, listen to that. It just dawned on me. Shall not see life. You know, Moses was allowed to go up on the mountain and look over into the promised land. God is saying right there, without the Son of God, you can't even look over there. Shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. That's a sad place to be. I'll tell you something tonight. If you're here tonight and the Spirit of God spoke to your heart and you're lost, don't run from Jesus. I'll be honest with you. He loves you. And he'll deal with you. He'll be long-suffering with you. But there'll be a day when all that will shut down. And it'll be too late to be saved. I'm looking around tonight. I know there's at least one young man here tonight needs to be saved. Well, I'd hate to leave a meeting like this unsaved, wouldn't you? You say, preacher, you judging that young man? Nope, I'm just believing what he told me from his mouth. He don't know Jesus yet. I'm not going to call his name. I'm not going to embarrass him in any way, shape, or form. But I'm just telling you, it ought to burden our hearts to know there's at least one among us. And there might be more than that that need Jesus. He's available. He's able to save. He's able to save you tonight. Let's pray together. Father, thank you tonight for the privilege to be here in the house of the Lord. Lord, what a joy it is to be with your people. Lord, I like meeting with them down here. Therefore, I just believe, Lord, I'm going to like that meeting over yonder when all the youngins get home. What a blessing it's going to be, Father. Lord, I pray tonight for that one, that individual tonight that doesn't know Jesus. I pray, God, you'd speak to their heart. Lord, I can't see hearts. You do tonight. I pray, Lord, tonight you'd stir in that heart. I pray, as Brother Colt said a while ago, Lord, that you'd get us ready, Lord, for revival, and maybe, God, even revival might break out. Lord, we really don't mind where it breaks out. If it breaks out over Brother Eddie's, that'd be good. If it breaks out over Brother Rob's, that'd be good. Lord, it don't matter where it breaks out. Our people are lost. Our community, Lord, needs revival. Our country needs revival. I pray you'd stir tonight as only you can. Our heads are bowed. We're going to wait just a moment.